Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that sound just put a huge grin on my face. Hey, everybody, I am Michael Davis, the host of the Iron Jaw Podcast. Thank you for listening in. If you're listening live, thank you. We actually set a record for the last podcast after the Duke and Wisconsin game for the most live listeners. The previous high was 7, and the last time was 16. And we actually had 11 people, you know, go back and listen. So, and that actually put us up at 3rd all time in total listens, 1st in live. So if you want to go back and try to make it number 1 in both, please, I encourage you to do so. I just realized that we are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. It starts 2 weeks from tonight, and I am so excited. I always look forward to this time of year, and I actually, you know, start looking at the draft normally in December or January, and, you know, I haven't made as many mock drafts because, you know, I've been into NBA or college basketball, and I've also been doing these podcasts, so I just wanted to devote a whole podcast to the NFL draft. And I actually compiled a mock draft just a few days ago, and I'll be honest, it looks very, very weird. And, you know, I kind of wanted to do that because, you know, there will be places that look like the other analysts, the special experts, and there will be other places you're like, what? And, you know, I'm not a fan of all teams. I try to consult other fan bases. I'm like, hey, I'm doing this mock draft for my podcast, and I don't know where to go with you or with your team. And I just ask for a little bit of guidance, who you want to have, if he's on the board, or, you know, what your team needs in terms of position. So I hope I did it right. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a couple of teams that, you know, are like, what? We already have too many receivers. We already have too many cornerbacks. What are you talking about? We need an offensive or defensive lineman. And, you know, it's just, it's whatever. I'm going to start out with, I'm going to break it down into increments and do the best job I can to actually, you know, do a time. Because I've actually, you know, marked out time marks. So I'm going to try to do this the best I can. First of all, I've done no trades, just not artificial. Anyways, 1 to 10. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select quarterback Jameis Winston from Florida State. Not really a surprise there. At number 2, the Tennessee Titans select Leonard Williams, defensive lineman from USC. And number 3, the Jaguars take linebacker Dante Fowler Jr. from Florida. At number 4, the Oakland Raiders take wide receiver Kevin White from West Virginia. And I realize some of you are not going to realize his name. Number 5, the Washington Redskins select guard Brandon Scherff from Iowa. Yeah, I told you it looked different. Number 6, the New York Jets select quarterback Marcus Mariota from Oregon, the second quarterback off the board. At number 7, the Chicago Bears take the number 1 rated corner, Trey Waynes from Michigan State University. At number 8, the Atlanta Falcons select defensive end Vic Beasley from Clemson. At number 9, the New York Football Giants select defensive tackle Danny Shelton from Washington. And at number 10, the St. Louis Rams take wide receiver Amari Cooper from the University of Alabama. Short intermission. I didn't have an audio clip of that. Like I said, it looks very different. I mean, you know, you can suggest, you know, the top 3 or 4 picks are pretty stationary. You know, you could assume if those 4 teams stay where they're at, that's probably the order of the 4 teams. You know, may switch Williams and Fowler. Who knows? But Brandon Scherff, to the Redskins. You know, people are going to question that. I think, you know, their defense is going to look better. You know, I love Rashad Breeland, and, you know, they also have David Amerson who can, you know, who has potential. He just needs to tap into it. And D'Angelo Hall is nearing the end of his career. But I think they can get away with that secondary with also Chris Culver, Dante Whitner, Brian Merriweather, all in there. I think they can get away with it. And, you know, they're like edge rusher. Well, you did lose Brian Arakpo. But, guys, you also drafted Trent Murphy last year. And he's productive really well. Ryan Kerrigan. You also have Jason Hatcher, Terrence Knighton, to put pressure on the quarterback. So I'm like, Washington, their woes are on offense when I watch them. Is it on the quarterback? Perhaps. I mean, they have a good running back in Alfred Morris, taken in the sixth round. And it's like, you have Deshaun Jackson, you have Pierre Garçon, and you have a couple good tight end targets. So what's missing? The game is won or lost in the trenches. And many people taking, like, a defensive end or an outside rusher, you know, I can see that. But you need someone in the interior. And they just saw the Cowboys dominate the division after drafting Zach Martin. And Brandon Scherff is somehow, you know, compared to Zach Martin. So I just think the Redskins will go for guard Brandon Scherff. And I actually didn't have that. I've got my notes here, and I'm like, touch on this, touch on that, touch on this. And I actually didn't have the Redskins. I just thought I would, you know, explain that. But I would really, really like to talk right now about, you know, Aaron Hernandez. You know, I'm not going to get into too much detail. I was asked to bring up by my friend Tyler Cranfield, first shot of the night. And I was like, oh, I'm way ahead of you. Aaron Hernandez fooled the New England Patriots. And, you know, they're always reluctant to give out big contracts. We just saw Darrell Revis walk to the rival Jets because of that. And, you know, Aqib Talib to the Broncos a year ago. I mean, so, and this was after Aaron Hernandez. But, you know, after giving Aaron Hernandez such a huge contract, you know, I mean, such a huge contract. $40 million. I mean, that's not much compared to quarterbacks, but it's pretty big for a second option tight end. And, you know, Wes Welker couldn't give a big contract deal with the Patriots. But it really puts in perspective, you know, character needs to trump. And I heard of this. I mean, I've heard of it. You know, you have Jameis Winston, who I'm number one in this mock draft. He has a red flag. He's immature. He's had off-the-field issues, and people are shrugging off like, this guy loves football. Well, so did Aaron Hernandez. And I'm not saying Jameis Winston's going to end up there, but, you know, his past, you know, really puts in there. And, you know, Randy Gregory, who I think I have, you know, not in the top 10, but somewhere in the first round. I think it was in the next increment. So that's sort of a spoiler there. I apologize. But Randy Gregory, you know, tested positive for marijuana at the combine. And just when he knew he was going to get drug tested. So are you really comfortable with selecting Jameis Winston with all the red flags off the field to draft him number one, let him be the face of your franchise, not only on the field, but off of. I mean, I'm not that confident. I love Mariota, and I love, you know, how mature he is, you know, after winning the Heisman. And, you know, if I had to pick, not just taking number one or taking number 20, I don't care if none of them last 20. But if I had to pick between Winston and Mariota, I take Mariota. Or, you know, I take Leonard Williams or Dante Fowler Jr. Or Trey Waynes or somebody like that, depending on what my team needs. But if I'm in need of a quarterback, I take Mariota. Simply because the only, you know, The only thing about him is can he take shots under, take snaps under center. Dude's talented. Dude won a Heisman. His decision making on the field is better than Winston's on the field because of the interception. How does Winston throw that many interceptions and, you know, thought about number one in class? It's baffling. But with Aaron Hernandez, you know, teams should really, you know, look, hey, can we trust this guy? And that's something you have to look at. Can you trust him to be on the field? Okay, that's durability, which we'll get into later. Can you trust him off the field? I can't trust James Winston. Oh, by the way, the sexual assault teaser has actually sued James Winston now. So make of that as you will. Before moving on to the next increment, I would like to say, you know, teams who could potentially trade up for Marcus Mariota, because I have them going number six to the Jets, but, you know, there's talks. They could trade up, you know, two, three, four, and, you know, for Mariota. And I got these teams down right here. Because, you know, I truly feel if Marcus Mariota drops to the Jets, nobody's talking about it, but they'll take Mariota. You know, you have Geno Smith, you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, but, you know, I'm not so confident in either of those guys. Especially with the Jets defense, which is built to win now. You have to get yourself a quarterback or a running back. Some people who have, you know, been taken with red flags. Johnny Manziel, Geno Smith, Jadeveon Clowney, Maurice Clarett, Demetrius Underwood, William Green, Josh Gordon, Lawrence Phillips, Winston Justice, Todd Marinovich. And a lot of those are Browns players, but you get my point. But some teams who could trade up for Mario would be the Cleveland Browns. Saints, Chargers, Cardinals, Broncos, and, you know, any of those teams are either going to try to trade up for him to let him develop a year and then, you know, trying to have him compete or just have him day one starter or, you know, have him rest behind, you know, someone like Drew Brees, who I don't see being traded from the Saints. But they also talk about trading Phillip Rivers, Chargers are. And note that the Eagles are such a smokescreen, they are not drafting Mariota. And I'm so behind right now. I'm going to go quickly and say my 11 through 20. Number 11, Minnesota Vikings select Shane Ray, the defensive end from Missouri. At number 12, the Cleveland Browns select wide receiver Devontae Parker from Louisville. The Saints select, after that, tackle Lael Collins from LSU, you know, staying in state. And at 14, another LSU player is taken off the board, the Dolphins select corner Jalen Collins. And number 15, 49ers, you don't hear this name often, take from Florida State defensive tackle Mario Edwards Jr. Watch out for that name on day one. The Texans at 16 select corner Marcus Peters from Washington. 17 at Chargers, defensive end Randy Gregory, caught that, from Nebraska. 18, the Chiefs select tackle Andrus Peat from Stanford. At 19, the Cleveland Browns select running back from Georgia, Todd Gurley. And at 20, the Eagles help their secondary by taking safety Landon Collins. I would love to talk about Shane Ray. He has a great story, but I just don't think, you know, with Michael Sam and Tony Ealy, both defensive ends from Missouri, you know, they had great college careers and then get to the NFL. And Ealy's not heard from, and I think he was drafted by Carolina. Yeah, and, you know, Michael Sam came and make a practice squad. But then again, Michael Sam, despite the production, you know, was really about, you know, his lifestyle. And my phone makes weird noises about this 15-minute mark time. I could go on all day about the Browns' drafting woes. The one thing I really want to talk about right now is the Miami Dolphins, because at 14 I had them taking a corner, Jalen Collins from LSU. And, you know, I've seen many, many, many mock drafts taking a wide receiver. And, you know, I have Kevin White, I have Amari Cooper, I have Devontae Parker off the board at 14. You know, I see a lot of times people say they're going to take Rashad Perryman from Central Florida, the receiver. And I would just like to say, you know, the Dolphins, they have Kenny Steele. They have Jarvis Landry, Rashard Matthews, LaRon Bird, who I actually saw play for Cowboys in preseason, and I think he has an incredible future, along with, you know, probably three practice squad, you know, training camp bodies. And Rashad Perryman, he has amazing numbers, you know, 6'3", 214 pounds, ran a 4.22 40-yard dash, which is unbelievably incredible. And he jumps pretty high, too. I mean, 36.5 vertical jump, 10-foot, 7-inch broad jump. But can we note right here that Mike Wallace was that speed guy, and that experiment failed miserably? And am I the only one who forgets that? You know, they just traded Wallace for really nothing to the Minnesota Vikings. You know, it's neat to think that they would take a receiver. But Devontae Parker, Amari Cooper, and Kevin White especially are off the board. Why would they reach for Rashad Perryman? And this is the Miami Dolphins, who spent all that money to Ndamukong Suh, who will not get them a game more in that division. He didn't with the Lions. I mean, who knows? I just think it would be, you know, redundant. It would be redundant to take wide receiver Rashad Perryman just because, you know, he's going to blow the top off defense. He's such a speed guy. He's going to get by corners. Not exactly. You know, you have Brand Marshall now in the division. You have Sammy Watkins. You have whoever the Patriots are on there. You know, you have Tom Brady. You're going to have to make sure Tom Brady is ineffective. Take corner Jalen Collins, LSU. You know, I really like him. And, you know, I just noticed I had two guys from LSU named Collins back-to-back, and I'm not sure if they're related or not. Anyways, New Orleans or Miami, who drafted the Bear Collins from LSU. Would like to get in now to advance. And you've seen I've said, you know, 10 picks here, 10 picks there. And now I'm about to just do a few, because, you know, the 32 teams, it's not really even. You know, I won't have this problem with the NBA draft. But at number 21, I had the Cincinnati Bengals taking an offensive tackle, Eric Flowers from Miami. And at number 22, the Pittsburgh Steelers taking defensive end Bud Dupree from Kentucky, which I didn't plan for it. You know, I study him, and I didn't write down my notes, but I would really love to get into the Bud Dupree if I can before the draft. You know, I've studied him, and I've heard his name come up for the Cowboys. I just am not seeing anything special there, and I may be wrong, but nah. At number 23, I had the Detroit Lions taking an offensive tackle, DJ Humphreys from Florida. They may have other pressing needs, but, you know, right there, getting DJ Humphreys, I think it's a good pick. And, you know, they have to keep Matthew Stafford upright. You know, they have to, especially in a division where you have Jared Allen, you have Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Lamar Houston, and company. At number 24, the Cardinals, you know, with Melvin Gordon on the board, take corner Justin Johnson from Wake Forest, just losing Antonio Cromartie. And at 25, the Carolina Panthers select a running back from Wisconsin, Melvin Gordon. And number 26, the Baltimore Ravens. I know I have a good friend who's a Ravens fan, Jason Prevett. You know, they take defensive tackle Eric Armstead to fill the void of Chloe Nanda, or at least try. So, how am I doing so far? You know, I told you it's going to be really weird, but, you know, I said that Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, you know, you can take either of them, one or two. They both have their concerns. You know, Todd Gurley, the ACL, which I don't think holds up in the NFL. You have a major injury in college. No matter how talented you are, you always, you know, aren't going to be to your full potential in the NFL. And an obvious example of that I haven't heard come up is running back Marcus Lattimore. Devastating knee injury at the end of his college career at South Carolina as a Gamecock. And, you know, he was drafted by the 49ers, and, you know, Carlos Hyde has surpassed him. Why? Because Hyde didn't have that huge injury. Lattimore's more talented, but, yeah, the knee. Carlos Hyde didn't have the ACL injury. And I still think Todd Gurley is going to be the first running back off the board, unless, you know, teams are like, hey, Melvin Gordon special, the next Jamal Charles, and they're not haunted by, you know, the Wisconsin running backs not having as much success in the NFL. You have Monty Ball, and you have someone else I forget the name of. And that's probably why he doesn't have success in the NFL. But I wanted to just say, you know, there's some teams who could take, you know, Gurley or Gordon. And, you know, some of these teams are the New York Jets at number 6. They need a quarterback and a running back. The Atlanta Falcons at 8 just let go of Steven Jackson. The St. Louis Rams at 10. And I'd only see this because if they would take Todd Gurley. If they take Todd Gurley at number 10, you know, you have them, you know, you have to redshirt them in your. Well, let's say this. You run him down in preseason, and then, you know, you max him out in the regular season at about 140, 150 carries. You know, just get him adjusted to the NFL scene if you want him to last. The Dolphins at 14 could use a second back down there. The San Diego Chargers, who lost Ryan Matthews to the Philadelphia Ducks. And the Lions at 23, who, you know, I think Reggie Bush left, and, you know, that's a mess up there in Detroit. But I still think they take off in the moment. The Arizona Cardinals, either way, Detroit's going to have to take the pressure off Matthew Stafford if they want to advance in the playoffs. Cardinals at 24, that's been talked about. Panthers at 25, that's where I have Melvin Gordon going. Dallas Cowboys at 27, who I personally hope waits until the second or third round, get a guy like Jay Ajayi or something like that. And then the Indianapolis Colts at 29. Obviously, near running back, I don't think Frank Gore is going to fit the bill. They have Vic Ballard. They lost Don Brown last year, and that really hurt him. He's in San Diego now, who I had taken Todd Gurley. And I actually don't think San Diego should take Todd Gurley. They probably will if he's there, but I just don't think they should. I mean, yeah, you lost Ryan Matthews, but I'm really high on Brandon Oliver and Don Brown. And you also have Dane Woodhead, so that's very formidable for at least the next year. Okay. Oh, wow. I have about 5 minutes left, and that's how much time I gave for, you know, the final portion of this. Obviously, like, take this moment to just thank you for tuning in and listening. I very much appreciate it. Very much appreciate it. But let's get down to the final end of round one, and this is going much quicker than it will 2 weeks from now. it's going to take the entire night for just one round, and then you come back for two rounds, and then, you know, day three, you end up four, five, six, seven. Not seven rounds, but, you know, those four later rounds for anyone who isn't familiar. Anyways, at number 27, the Dallas Cowboys, who I'm a fan of, but not this pick, Malcolm Brown from Texas, defensive tackle. You know, just staying in state right there. And defensive line help. But I don't see it in Malcolm Brown. I may be wrong. Further look at him. The Denver Broncos select a tackle, T.J. Clemens from Pittsburgh. You know, losing Orlando Franklin, you know, you can use that however you may. But you have to protect Peyton. Either way, you have to protect Peyton. The Indianapolis Colts take that speedster, Rashad Perryman from Central Florida. They help their offense by, you know, they have T.Y. Hilton. Okay, that's your speed guy. You have Andre Johnson, you know. You no longer have Reggie Wayne. You have Akeem Nicks, who I don't see there being much longer. And you also have Rashad Perryman. You know, if you can have Hilton and Perryman, you know, split the carries, maybe Hilton doing about 75 or 80, you know, compared to Perryman, you know, doing 20, 25. I don't know the numbers. But that could be a dangerous place. So I had a lot of offensive linemen going ahead. If, you know, if one of them drops, I think the Colts should take one of those guys. But, yeah, I had T.J. Clemens, D.J. Humphries, Eric Flowers, and Andrews Peet, you know, going in the first, you know, 10 or 12 so picks before the Colts. At number 30, the Green Bay Packers select a cornerback who is not being talked about, and that is Alex Carter from Stanford, the same place that produced Richard Sherman. Is that right? Yes, that is right, Uncle. 31, the New Orleans Saints take linebacker Denzel Perryman from Miami, Florida, that is. And can I give you guys a secret real quick? I think this guy is the next Ray Lewis. Come back to me when I'm right, please. which, you know, is very rare. I'll always admit when I'm wrong. And closing at 32, the New England Patriots take corner Byron Jones from UConn. Taking Carter over, I mean, both had, you know, incredible numbers, you know, physical-wise, but I would take cornerback Alex Carter for the Packers and, you know, deflect Jones, who I love. I absolutely love. I hope the Cowboys take him at 27. I just don't think they will. I think Byron Jones is the perfect fit for New England, though, after losing Darrell Revis. I just think he is a perfect fit, and he fits the mantra of the Patriots, is they don't trade out. And Alex Carr, I love him. No, of course. He's a second-generation player. His father was a corner, drafted by the Redskins, also played for the Chicago Bears and Bengals. And, you know, Alex's brother Cameron died at 14 with type 1 diabetes in 2012. But I love his intelligence. I love Stanford players. And I'll get more into Stanford players and other players and more depth into the players I told you about this podcast. And, you know, just brush up on your history, guys. You know, research it. I researched all of this. And so I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I'm going to do more about the draft before 2 weeks are up. And I filled a whole 30-minute podcast and almost didn't get it done in time. But I did. So thank you, guys. I love you, and I love your support. On Facebook, on social media, whatever. Love you all. God bless.